Morning Edition and Morning News with Leslie Thatcher is brought to you in part by Park City Medical Center, Jan's Mountain Outfitters, Deer Valley Resort, Promontory the Ranch Club, and Promontory Foundation, and Carl Malone Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
Well, right now, the Utah legislature is beginning its third week, and on the phone with me, with an update, I have the managing director of UtahPolicy.com, Brian Schott. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
So, let's see. We've got a record number of bills that have been filed. So, how many are we talking about?
There's well over 1,300. Bills had to be numbered given an official number last week. We're still seeing a lot of those filter out, so we may see a few more pop up today. But there were over 1,300 bill requests. Now, obviously, not all of those are going to get numbered. Not all of those are going to get heard. But lawmakers are still going to be dealing with an absolute crush of bills. And we are here in the start of week number three, and we've got a little more than a month to go before everything wraps up. So obviously, they're not going to get to all of those, but it just shows that that things are really, there's a lot of legislation every single year, and there's not a lot of staff to deal with it. Those poor legislative attorneys who draft the bills, who do the research for the bills, they are completely overworked, and they are doing yeoman's work as the legislature tries to crank out all these potential pieces of legislation. But it's very ironic that we've got all this legislation when so many people up on Capitol Hill love to preach limited government, smaller government, but that's just not the case.
Yeah. Well, two of those bills deal with medical marijuana. So what have we got on the table here?
Well, Senator Mark Madsen, it's a Monday morning, so please forgive me. Senator Mark Madsen had a medical marijuana bill that's called a whole plant bill, allowing the use of the whole whole marijuana plant if prescribed by a doctor to treat medical conditions. Then Senator Evan Vickers has a bill that allows for some cannabinoid extracts to be used to treat medical conditions. Now, the big difference between the two, it's the chemical THC. The whole plant has the THC. The cannabinoid extract does not. And then on Friday, when these bills came before a legislative committee, the LDS Church voiced their opposition to the whole plant measure, which covers and would treat a broader spectrum of people who are suffering from seizures, cancer, epilepsy, a number of those things. The LDS Church said that they are opposed to that. They did not take a position on the Vickers bill that was just the cannabinoid extract. So for all intents and purposes, with the LDS Church coming out and saying that they opposed Madsen's bill, and it looks like the main reason they oppose it is THC, the THC content, it looks like Madsen's bill is DOA at this point.
Okay. Maybe we'll see something later after they see how this first one gets run through. But let's move on. The Medicaid expansion, still nothing here, huh?
Yeah. Last week, Representative Patrice Arendt, she has a bill that would allow the legislature to put a non-binding question on the ballot. So if they wanted to see where public opinion is on a measure, they would be able to put a question on the election ballot as a non-binding question. Well, she has that bill, and then we found out as a companion, she wants to put Medicaid expansion, specifically Governor Gary Herbert's Healthy Utah, to a non-binding vote. Now, here's one of the advantages. That would give a lot of lawmakers who are opposed to Healthy Utah political cover. They would be able to say, well, it's what the public wants. But they already know that's what the public wants, because opinion poll after opinion poll after opinion poll shows that the public favors Healthy Utah over a more limited expansion. Lawmakers are worried about the cost and whether they're going to be left on the hook for the cost if they expand and then the federal government pulls back on that. So I doubt that that's going to happen. In fact, I really think that we're not going to see any movement on any sort of Medicaid expansion until Representative Dunnigan unveils his bill, which we expect might come sometime this week, and that's going to be a much more limited expansion that's really only going to cover Utahns who are in the so-called gap. So it's going to cover just a small amount of Utahns at a lower cost. But the disadvantage of that is we're going to remain at the 70-30 cost split with the federal government. Federal government picking up 70% of the cost, state picking up 30% of the cost. That's how it is now. If they were to expand Medicaid to a larger degree, then the federal government would cover 90% of the cost and the state would only cover 10%.
Okay. This is interesting. A lawsuit brewing from the Alliance for a Better Utah claiming the state isn't adequately funding public schools. So we had heard, a lot of money at least being proposed by Governor Gary Herbert. Has this suit been filed, or are we just talking about it?
Well, they are just talking about it. You know, this is a common tactic in a lot of states to go to the courts and try to force the legislature to better fund schools. Utah is one of four states that has not faced this kind of litigation. So Alliance for Better Utah, which is a left-leaning activist group, they are threatening this lawsuit. I'm not quite sure why they're talking about it now unless they want to see what lawmakers are going to do. Bottom line is the lawmakers are not going to throw $1 billion at public education. They're just not going to do that. And that's what it's going to take to pull Utah out of the bottom rank of spending on students. But what I think might be behind this a little bit is they may be pushing lawmakers to think about a proposed constitutional amendment, which would, right now, all property taxes go to fund education. That's higher education and public education. That was a change voters made a number of years ago. This proposed constitutional amendment would take higher education out of that mix. So higher education would not get any of the income taxes that are collected by the state. Now, and that's being proposed by Senator Jim DeBacchus. So maybe they're trying to sort of scare lawmakers or give them a pause if they were to reject that sort of thing. And maybe they would put that on the ballot for voters to better fund public education, because the way that we fund public education just is not working in the state.
Another interesting bill coming out, actually, I think it was a resolution, about declaring pornography as a public health crisis here in Utah, huh?
Yeah, Senator Todd Weiler, that's SCR-9, and he's been getting a lot of national attention. It was picked up by The View. They talked about it. It's been all over the news. And what this is, it would just declare pornography as a public health crisis. What does that mean? Well, it doesn't really mean anything other than the state is wagging their finger at pornography. And it's sort of ironic because if you look at all the studies, Utah is one of, if not the biggest consumers of online pornography in the entire country. Study after study after study shows that online pornography is very popular in Utah. So I'm not quite sure why Senator Todd Weiler is doing this. To me, it feels like an election year public morality bill that makes it look like you're trying to do something. You know, it's something that gets a lot of attention, doesn't have any teeth to it. It won't have any teeth to it, but it just looks like it's something, hey, you know, I'm fighting the scourge of pornography. And it is interesting coming from Senator Weiler, because he is one of the most vocal backers of the Count My Vote for My Senate Bill 54. And he is facing some challenges within the Republican Party for the nomination this year. And his support of SB 54 has not been going over well with delegates in his district.
Sounds like a little passive-aggressive finger-shaming to me, but I guess we'll wait and see what happens there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we need to leave it at that. But, Brian, we'll talk to you next week.
Sure.
Thanks so much.
Brian, okay, thank you.
Brian Schott is the managing editor of UtahPolicy.com. KPCW News Time now, 8:20. It's 8:28 now. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the local news hour on KPCW. Joining me now in the studio, the superintendent of Park City Schools, Amber Conley. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
So the the Park City School Board meeting tomorrow in a work session starting at 9 o'clock. They'll be at the school district office there on Kearns Boulevard. Number of reports. We're talking about new courses, and this requires board approval?
Right. So the board's required to review the courses before they've been put into the course catalog.
So what are we talking about adding?
A couple different ones. I think one most interesting is a global Global Solutions course, and it goes right along with our creative and critical thinking that's also part of the ethics bowl in the ethics department.
All right. And I don't know if you heard the interview that we had last Friday with the folks from Courcheville, France. Some of the courses that their education department offers, snowmaking and culinary arts. I mean, is that something that Park City would ever consider?
You know, we have and it's not very well known, but we have a partnership with the Montage with culinary arts, and we have chefs that come into our classrooms and teach our courses, and then basically an internship for our high school students that are able then to go up and work a certain amount of hours, get their courses, and then Montage has been very generous to be able to then offer ongoing employment and tuition reimbursement.
Okay. Later on in the meeting, the board will look at the engagement initiative that they set up. You're going to spend about an hour talking about a strategic plan survey. You've done the survey, and so what, just kind of breaking that apart?
Right. So part of after our defeat of our bond is to be able to have opportunities to really listen and hear what our community has been saying and what we need to do moving forward. And so in the last week, we had some post-bond survey study groups that were designed by Lighthouse Study. We also have the What Counts session coming up tonight and tomorrow night. So there were about 400 invitations that went out again for a study group type session. As a point of clarification, anytime that the board gets together, unless it's a closed session for legal matters, property, et cetera, these are open meetings. However, the way that we've designed these are to have specific people in study groups and being able to have that facilitated. Anyone can come and watch, but again, it's invitation. So that's one. Then also the board is going to be doing a survey for the strategic plan. We've administered that to our administrators, to our staff, and now it's the board's turn to really say what's working well, what needs improvement. And again, it's just an opportunity to revise and review our strategic plan, which was done in about 2010, and then also moving forward with our facility planning.
All right. So in terms of the surveys that have been done, are those results available publicly?
They are in different forms. So the post-bond survey has the raw data, and the analysis will be shared at our next regular session later this month. And then along with the analysis of what the post-bond survey study groups have said.
Okay. And then this, what counts these groups that you've put together, what are we talking about? I mean, what are we counting?
Right. Great question. So again, looking at, and it's facilitated with a professor from Westminster. This is her background. She also has her own private business doing this. And she's worked with various organizations, anywhere from physicians to corporate venues. And it, again, is saying what's working well, what needs improvement, what do you see our district looking like in 10 years and in 20 years? And being able to bring that in together, code it, and provide a report to the board.
All right. And then we also have a committee looking at different start times?
We do. We have a grassroots parent committee that's come together. We have anywhere from physicians to individuals with master's degree in sleep studies, as well as just very concerned parents that our secondary students are, you know, getting up at a time that their brains aren't ready to learn. And so we've now met officially three times, and our minutes and our agendas are out there, and we're going to continue meeting. Our goal is, and I'm going to say their goal, I'm just glad to be part of the group, is to have a recommendation to the board in May.
All right. Does that make sense? Because what we've heard in the past is that the younger kids, the kindergartners, I mean, it's just too early to put them on a bus at 6:30.
Right. So part of this is working directly with transportation. And again, it's been great to have the parents there and putting different scenarios together of how different bus schedules could look like. And is that a capital expense? Do we need to buy more buses? Do we need to invest in our maintenance and operation to have more bus drivers to provide for their salaries? And so that's what they're putting together.
Okay. And then you had a job offer out for a communication specialist. Have we hired somebody?
We have, and I'm really thrilled to be able to say that Molly Miller, she is a local here in Park City, but she has formerly, been the KSL Morning News Director, Executive Director. So she is ready to do something different and be part of our team.
All right. So when does she start?
She will start the 16th. So this next week.
All right. So what are we? What are you assigning her?
A lot. So first of all, being able to look at our website and modernize that. We have some changes there. Being able to be our social media director. Also working with the board, as you know, our needs haven't changed with the bond to feed. And so being able to get that communication out effectively. The one thing that I learned in listening to the study groups at the bond, the post-bond survey, was while the people that have children in our district were really well informed, the people that didn't weren't. And how do we really reach them? You know, is it door to door? Is it mailings? And so that's her specialty, is communications and how to reach them.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to mention?
I just want to say congratulations to our high school robotics team. They won top in the field at their Montana competition this weekend. So congratulations to them.
Great. Awesome. Thank you, Amber.
Thanks, Leslie.
Amber Connolly is the superintendent of Park City Schools. News time now, 8:34. We'll be checking in with Tom Kelly from the U.S. Ski Team right after this. 8:40, and on the phone with us now from the U.S. Ski and Snowboard Association, it's Tom Kelly. Good morning, Tom.
Well, good morning, Leslie. And just before we start, a quick encouragement to all of our listeners here of our weekly report to take this opportunity to call into KPCW and support Community Radio. Thanks for Park City Transportation and everything it does. But great service you provided, KPCW.
Well, and one of those things, of course, during the season, the weekly ski reports with you and the ski team reports. So thank you for helping us out here. Again, busy, busy weekend in Park City last weekend with the Park City and Deer Valley World Cups. These were test events for the 2019 World Championship. So is this how it would be run in 2019?
Well, we don't have an exact schedule yet for the 2019 World Championships, but in general, you're going to have multiple events going on a given day. It worked out just fantastically well. We ran the free skiing and the snowboarding halfpipe events over at Park City. Those ran at noon on Friday and Saturday. And then over at Deer Valley, we were running generally night events, although we did do a pickup aerials event on Thursday. Everything went like clockwork. A lot of people out at the events, good competition, and all in all, a very successful weekend.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of the results.
Yeah, results-wise, pretty interesting. You know, I got to say, my favorite event of the weekend ended up being the half-pipe snowboarding on Saturday noon over at Park City. Total bluebird day. This group of athletes has not had a decent day for a pipe competition all season long. So when they got a bluebird day and a beautiful pipe like they had at Park City, they just went for the sky. Matt Ladley picking up where he left off with his X Games win a week earlier, winning the Grand Prix title on Saturday. And then Chloe Kim, a perfect score of 100, back-to-back 1080. Has never been done by a woman before. And she led a USA sweep. So a big day on Saturday in the pipe. A day earlier in the ski pipe, it was Maddie Bowman picking up where she left off of the X Games, backing that up with a win on her third and final run. Aaron Blunk taking the title for the men. Over at Deer Valley, huge crowds every day. Not as much to report on the results side for the USA, but a tremendous finish by Ashley Caldwell, third in aerials on Friday night, and a new star emerging, Jalen Kahl, finishing sixth in only her third moguls event, and then coming back on Saturday night and finishing third in the dual mogul. Only the fourth time she's been on a World Cup course. So kudos to Deer Valley and Park City and the entire community, the Utah Sports Commission helping out for all the work in putting this test event for the 2019 Worlds together.
Well, and one of my favorite things, though, was Dylan Ferguson's front flip, reenacting Stein's
amazing.
Great thing. Yeah.
We had a wonderful celebration for Stein, capped off by that amazing front flip by Dylan Ferguson, looking very stylish off the kicker.
Yeah. All right. So coming up, we've got this huge big air contest or event happening in Boston at Fenway Park?
Yeah, in fact, I was just looking at the weather. It is snowing in Boston right now, which is good for our competition coming up Thursday and Friday. This is probably one of the biggest events that we've ever done. The first inside a stadium ski event in modern history. A 140-foot high scaffold jump has been erected in Fenway. That's 10 feet higher than the top of the light stands. Large international field expected for the finale of the Grand Prix on Thursday and Friday. We'll have snowboarding on Thursday night and free skiing on Friday night live national television. television on NBCSN. You can also stream it live at NBC Sports Live Extra. We're going to be seeing Josh Christensen, Sage Katzenberg, Gus Kenworthy, going to be a top contender there. Ty Walker, one of the top competitors on the women's field and snowboarding. Pretty spectacular event. I'm on my way out there now and look forward to getting to the top of that scaffold and looking down on the classic old ballpark at Fenway.
Okay. And then in Alpine, great to see Steven Nyman back on the podium.
Yeah, it really was. We had the test event for the 2018 Olympic downhill for the men, an event that a lot of people weren't sure was going to happen this year, but they pulled it off. It was a fantastic event, very, very good course, positive comments by everybody. And the best news was Steven Nyman finishing third in that event on Saturday morning, actually Friday night, Park City time. Not as strong in the Super G. Nobody actually in the top 20 there, but great weekend for Nyman finishing third in the test downhill.
Okay, and then Lindsey Vonn expanding her lead.
Yeah, pretty good weekend for her. A little trouble in the Super G. She had a huge mistake and almost crashed. Still finished third in that on Sunday, but on Saturday picking up her 77th World Cup win, winning the downhill by a huge margin of 1.51 seconds. So she's got a pretty good lead right now. It's a little bit less than 100 points, and they're going into another speed weekend in Crans, Montana, Switzerland. In fact, they're going to be joined there by Michaela Schifrin. She just announced this morning that she is going to make her comeback next Monday in a slalom at Crans, Montana. This is one that was just added to the schedule after having been canceled at Maribor. She's been back on snow for about a week now in Colorado, heading over to Europe this week, and look for her to be back in the start gate next Monday.
Okay. And then finally, we've got the Youth Olympic Games opening this week in Norway.
Yeah, great event, the Youth Olympic Games, second time it's been held, and that's going to open up Friday in Lillehammer, site of the 1994 Olympic Games. Really strong U.S. team going over there, in particular on the free skiing and the snowboarding side. One of the things that's interesting about Youth Olympic Games, it's a very small team, just one man and one woman per nation in each event, and only a select number of events, but we've got three Park City connected athletes. First of all, on the women's ski jumping, coming out of the Fly Girls program with Sloan and Sankey, and on the free skiing side, in the slopestyle, Alex Hall and Nikita Rabaki from Team Park City United. So good luck to those athletes. They are heading over, I think, next couple of days, opening ceremonies Friday in Lillehammer.
Okay, so the age of these athletes are what?
There's a very narrow age range on this. Most of these athletes, I think, are about, I think these are all about 16 or 17-year-old athletes. So very narrow age window and just a select number of events. So they will have two alpine events. They'll have a ski jumping event, Nordic combined, slopestyle, half pipe, but no moguls or aerials. So pretty select group, and you just kind of have to slot in with the right age in order to make those teams.
Okay. Look forward to hearing about the results next week. Tom, thanks.
Good deal. Thanks. And again, folks, call in and donate. This is a great report. We do every Monday. You'd do it if it wasn't for all of your support for KPCW.
All right. Tom Kelly from the U.S. Ski and Snowboard Association. News time now, 8:47. For that. 8:50 now, and coming up this weekend, it's the annual Winter Art Salon taking place at the Montage Deer Valley. In the studio with details, Art Center Director Robin Marush. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
So what is an art salon?
Well, we started this because that's one more wonderful thing to do during President's Week. So if you're staying in town or you're a visitor, you can come to the Montage Deer Valley and see a group of international artists that we've curated over the last year and a half to join us this weekend. So there'll be luxury vendors and artists from as far away as Brussels, Milan, and it's going to be incredible. And we're going to be there from Friday night through Monday at 6 p.m.
All right. So give us an idea of some of the artists that are going to be there and what they're bringing with them.
Well, the artist from Brussels has feather sculptures that you've never seen before that are absolutely extraordinary. And then we have a bamboo artist from Portland. We have the Lego artist, if you remember his shows. He's got a 5-foot ice cream cone out of Lego. That's going to be wonderful. And then some jewelers and a painter from California, Susan Swartz, Billy Redford. It's just so exciting, the lineup of artists we have.
And all of the art is for sale, or is it just for display?
It's all for sale, and a portion of the proceeds go towards supporting the Kimball Art Center.
All right. So tell us, it's you've got a VIP preview party, what, for your members or invited guests, or it's a fundraiser portion
of it?
So there's tickets available for that. It's $250 for the VIP night, and that is the best pick of the art, and all of the artists will be there to mingle with. And we'd like to donate to KPCW for someone that calls in a pledge of $100. You could still join us for that very exclusive VIP night.
Okay, so let's just say we've got two VIP tickets. It's a $500 value. The first person with a $100 pledge, 649-9004. That's happening this Friday night, 6 to 9 p.m. at Montage. And that includes, I mean, what you got, drinks and hors d'oeuvres. And
that's right, the whole evening. And we've got the Youth Symphony Guild of the from the orchestra playing, and our own Teresa, our local artist. And so it's music and art activities for kids. So you can enjoy the preview while your kids are getting an art activity with our education staff. So you can see our mission in action. But if you can't make it, then pop by in your ski boots over the weekend. You can ski down to Empire and pop into the Montage and come and see us. We're going to be in the ballroom and the new Empire space, that beautiful event space at the Montage.
All right. So that's Saturday through Monday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.?
Right. And daily from 2 until 5, we have art lectures. So you can go on our website at KimballArtsCenter.org and see the breakdown of the lectures. Everything is free. You can just enjoy some après-ski intellectual oxygen.
Okay. And again, this is just an opportunity to bring people together in kind of a different location, huh?
That's right. When I was traveling to Miami years ago, and I saw these art lovers at Art Basel, and everybody was saying that they ski here during President's Week, and they go anywhere to see wonderful art, we decided to combine the two.
Awesome. All right. Again, for a $100 pledge, we have two of these VIP tickets to the opening night VIP preview party. That's happening this Friday night, 6 to 9 p.m. at Montage. Real quick, what's the news with Carlene and Uptown Fair?
We are going to be up and running by the end of February, and we cannot wait. I know, I'm salivating thinking about it.
Are we, is she changing the name? I mean, is it Downtown Fair? Or
Midtown Fair? Yeah. I mean, she's keeping the name.
Okay.
We're so excited to have them, and I know it's going to be such a wonderful addition to our new space.
All right, so because you kind of walk in the main doors, it's going to be off to the where?
It's through the gallery. There's a space where there's a kitchen, and it will be right there in that entranceway on the side where the education classes come in.
Great, great. Okay, anything else you wanted to mention?
I just really want to encourage people to come and see this curated group of artists. It is just extraordinary, the amount of talent that's coming into town this weekend. So please come and see us.
All right, Robin, thanks for coming in. KPCW News Time now, 8:54.